From WXXI News in Rochester, I'm Scott Feibusch, in for Evan Dawson, and this is Connections Innovation Friday. One of the first priorities for the Obama White House and First Lady Michelle Obama was the challenge of getting more women and girls into science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. The statistics are sometimes depressing. Less than 2% of women make it into the IT workforce, despite the fact that about 12% graduate with IT degrees. Minority communities are also underrepresented in science fields, according to the National Science Foundation. In this hour, we're going to talk with a graduate of the Step It Up America initiative, a Rochester woman who's out to make waves in the IT field. We'll hear from her mentor and from an executive who's out to change some of those statistics. We want to hear from you as well. You can give us a call at 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Or online, you can find me on Twitter at Scott Feibusch. We begin by joining our guests. They all join us by phone this hour. Alexandria Kelly is a past graduate of the Rochester STEM Training Program. Dan Weber is a vice president of technology for UST Global and was Alexandria's mentor. And B.G. Moore is the chief of staff for UST Global. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
And glad you could all join us today. Alexandria, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about the program that you went through in Rochester and where it's led you.
The program was very intense. It was a boot camp for 3 months of my life that gave me really the foundation that I needed to go and enter the IT field. Specifically, our company will be Xerox. So it started a few months ago, and we've been learning all about how to be a business system analyst, and just learning what, you know, the foundation and fundamental aspects of that career that we need to start off in the IT field.
And you come to this already with some pretty hefty credentials. You spent some time teaching in the Rochester City School District at the high school level. You've got a degree in biomedical sciences from RIT. What led you into the process of deciding, I want to go into STEM?
Definitely. Well, you know, as a researcher, I always thought that I wanted to change, you know, enhance the way we live just as humans in general. But the IT field, it has very limited minorities and diversity in women, and just that's just one way to affect the way that we live and change the world. So when I got the call from UST Global, I was a little bit lost studying at Virginia Tech and doing research, and I thought it was a great way to just change my career directions and make a difference and learn as much as possible in a new career and see where it can lead me.
And you hooked up along the way with Dan Weber. Dan, thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about how you became involved in this program and how you came to mentor Alexandria.
Yeah, I became aware of the UST Global Step It Up America program, actually from the Atlanta, Georgia area. And they launched the program here in November of 2013. I became aware of it in January of 2014. And I've been active in three classes that we had initially here in Atlanta. And we've brought about 100 women through the program here. And then when we had a unique opportunity to partner with, and again, thank Xerox, you know, for their bold effort in bringing the Step It Up America program to Rochester. It was at that point that, you know, not only did was I involved with the selection process, meeting Alexandria up front, but then also, too, through the entire training process to date, being able to see her personal growth and the ability to, you know, now be able to boldly walk into an opportunity over the next year as a consultant with UST Global, and then even longer term, you know, potential within Xerox. It's great, and part of being a mentor is not only being there from the beginning, but being there ongoing through the process. Having been in the technology field for well over 20 years as a CIO, part of what I see in each of these ladies here is the ability to not only to do well in the respective fields, but also to serve as future mentors to other young ladies that want to go and enter in the technology field.
And we will come back to that. B.G. Moore, you are the chief of staff, UST Global. You've got a long record of experience in the technology field and in the business field. Talk a little bit about the extent to which things are changing and the extent to which change is necessary.
Sure. And I appreciate you having us on the program today. My boss, our CEO, Sajan Pillai, has served on the National STEM Council for the last 5 years. And the reason that we started Step It Up in the first place was as we would prepare him to go to the various STEM meetings and he would come back with the statistics from those meetings, we were just appalled by the disparity that's going on. Example, women only hold 34% of the technology jobs in the United States today. And if you start slicing that by ethnicity, the numbers drop or actually plummet. Example, African-American women make up 6.8% of the U.S. population per the 2012 census, but they only hold 1.4% of the tech jobs in our country. And if you take out help desk, which is kind of the entry level, it drops below 0.5%. STEM tells us that there's more payroll dollars spent on technology payroll in the U.S. than on science, engineering, and mathematics added together. So there's this great opportunity, high-paying jobs, a number of them. Every company in the U.S. is screaming that they can't find technology talent. And yet we have a very capable pool of talent at our doorstep. They just need a little bit of additional help taking and getting the training they need so that they can enter into to the field. And when we looked at it and tried to figure out why more of our young ladies, and in particular why more of our young ladies of color were not going into the technology field, we kind of walked away really with three things, and this wasn't our research. It was our examining of the body of research that's been done. One is the lack of role models. It's kind of a perpetual spiral. The young ladies' moms or sisters or aunts or next-door neighbors, they're not in the technology positions, so they don't really have it on their radar screen to go there. Our high school guidance counselors still aren't taking in the tide's changing, but for the last few years at least, haven't been taking and steering our young ladies towards these types of positions. And then the last one is just the preconceived notion that technology is for those that are very technical and you have to be great in math and there's no creativity and it's not a warm feel-good type of occupation. But, what most of our young ladies and the people don't realize is that technology today is all about design and connecting people using digital transformation to take and to be able to accomplish whatever the tasks that we have at hand are. And it's not all about just, programming in the background. So what we see as the future is being able to take and not just educate the opportunities to our young people of STEM opportunities, but actually to have a program that will take and get the people the training they need today so that they can enter the workforce today. That's not only going to take and change their life, but it's going to change their family and the people that they're associated with, so that we have more of those role models inside the community that people will take and consider this as a valid career path.
A lot to unpack there, and I'm glad we have the full hour this hour to do that. I want to get you involved in the discussion as well. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Randy in Fairport, you are on Connections Innovation Friday. Randy, you there? Randy, do we have you there? I think we do not have Randy there. Randy, if you want to call back, 844-295-8255. How early, we'll throw this back to the panel here, how early can you get started? I mean, I've got a daughter who is on her way into seventh grade and is showing an interest, as a lot of her friends do, in a lot of these pieces of science and of technology. At what point do you begin to go from, okay, this is just something that you're kind of interested in, to, you need to start thinking about how to develop this potentially as a career if you're interested?
I would suggest that you can get them started as early as they're willing to jump in. There's so many great camps and opportunities for them to get involved. I'll let Dan share. He has a young daughter that he has an interesting story on such a technology camp. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, so, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and, in fact, probably for the last year and a half, there's a program out there called Minecraft, and it allows you to build virtual worlds and to do all types of different things that are out there. And, I was talking with my daughter the other day, and we're riding through, and I look over, and there's a church here in Atlanta that actually has a, I said, well, hey, Isabella, we could probably send you to one of those camps there. And I said, there's a Minecraft there. And she goes, oh, Daddy, you're just kidding with me. And then she looks over there and goes, wow. So, there's Minecraft, and that would be fun to do. And I said, well, Isabella, what do you want to do when you get older? And she said, I'd really like to kind of become a video game engineer. And she started talking about the founders of Minecraft and all of these different areas. Now, whether or not she does that or not, one of the things I tell her is I'm like, absolutely, if that's what you want to do, I'm here to support it 100% along the way. Said, I tell her about the 21 women that just graduated of our Step It Up class there in Rochester. And I said, women have got the ability to do whatever they want to do. And she's like, that's great. So I was talking to my my friends there in the class and such, and said, they're just thrilled the opportunity that, we as girls have so many different opportunities. And I think it's just really, being able to, give that level of encouragement to girls, even as early as, fourth and fifth grade.
It's interesting that you both mentioned Minecraft, because my kids right now, our school doesn't start here for another few days, and I'm certain that they're sitting on the sofa right now, plugging away at their phones or at their computers, building stuff in Minecraft, and there are certainly a lot of things that I would I'm glad they're doing that instead of some other stuff they could be doing. Are we at a point now where the amount of technology that boys and girls are exposed to on a regular basis, does that help? Is that something that now that this is something that's so much a part of their lives, is this going to encourage a younger generation perhaps to get into some of this in a more equitable way than perhaps our generation did?
I'll answer that. I think the answer is yes, it's going to help. I think that being able to tie the areas of technology back around to even shorter term aspirations for what they can do throughout the rest of their middle school and high school years, but even then going into college, making the flip to sit there and say, yes, this is something that if you're interested in it, is a very valuable, very good career. I think the overall shift to mobility and other technology that's readily available to all of our kids today in a lot of different areas, will help to stem that tide.
It is Innovation Friday on Connections from WXXI. We are talking with B.G. Moore and Dan Weber from UST Global and from Alexandria Kelly, who was one of Dan's, I guess you'd use the word mentee would be the appropriate word there, as part of the Step It Up program, the Step It Up America initiative, and with you as well at 844-295-8255. And I believe we have Randy from Fairport back on the line with us. Hi, Randy.
How you doing?
Good.
Yes. Well, I kind of have a general question. I'm just going to give you a little background. I have five children. My oldest has a doctorate in law. My next anticipated going into engineering and became overwhelmed. My third is in college right now, and then I have, two that are in high school. And I'm just wondering what the emphasis or push would be outside of the choice of the particular person or child or student to push them toward a technological or, engineering or, isn't it kind of self-governed?
That's an interesting question. Who won the panel? Maybe Alexandria, maybe you could jump in and talk a little bit about, whether you felt at some point You know, Randy says it's self-governed. Is there a point where you look at this and say, wow, this is something that's just not open to me at this time, and so I'm just going to go in another direction because this isn't where I think my life could go?
I think one of the things that everyone has to consider is that technology is everything that's around us. And I guess I didn't understand as a young kid what technology really is, but my generation is Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and so many different programs that you can do as a if you go into the technological field. So as young people, one thing that I told my third and fourth graders at one point is that technology is everything. And for women, and particularly in girls, we tend to push them into certain directions and certain gender roles. But if we just open our minds and allow them to see, the variation that you can go into for technology, then I think that's one thing that can motivate people to go into it, minorities and women and kids in general. Minecraft, that's something that one of my niece plays all the time, and I encourage her to keep playing and get interested into it and allowing her to just, her mind to just go with technology. So,
and one of the things that we're finding in kind of the thrust behind the Step It Up America program is that a lot of young people, they go into school, they really don't know what they want to do. They end up taking and going a liberal arts path because of maybe it has a broader range of subjects that they find of interest. They're somewhat intimidated by some of the, like a computer science or an engineering major. They graduate, and then they find out that the jobs that are available to them aren't what they thought they would be, and the income levels which they can earn aren't what they desire. Case in point, the average starting salary for someone coming out of with a computer science major last year was somewhere between $60,000 to $70,000. The average starting salary for someone coming out with a liberal arts major was between $30,000 to $40,000. So the disparity right out of school for the people coming out with the same 4 years worth of education is huge. And what we're saying is that, we found that there is a number of young people, especially these young ladies that are coming out being hit with the hard, cold facts that, this is the limit of what they can earn with their liberal arts degree, that with 6 months worth of accelerated training, they can take and be put on a career path where that they can earn the same as someone that has that computer science degree. So a lot of it has to do with the economics.
Has that changed, would you say, maybe in the last generation or so? I'm thinking about, when I graduated from college a couple of decades ago, it didn't seem like there was quite that much disparity at this point. I think, are people more aware of that now? Is there a more general sense now that, wow, there really is, if you've got the right technology major, there's really some serious money and serious career paths to be made?
Well, I wish I could tell you that they were. I have two 26-year-old boys. And one of them, even though I've been in technology for 35 years, didn't heed the call and went off and received his liberal arts degree. And, now he's coming back and saying, Dad, can I get into this program? What can we do? So I still think that a lot of our young people, as they're going through college, don't really look at the economics of the degrees that they're obtaining. And not to say that the cash is the only thing that matters, satisfaction with what you're doing. I think the other limiting factor to answer Randy's question is that, and I think Alexandria hit on this, people don't realize the broad breadth of opportunities and things that you can work on inside technology. We need project managers. We need, business analysts that go out and understand the requirements. We need the people that do design, because it's all about the user interface and how do you, design that smart app. Vice President Biden visited our class in Detroit and was fairly impressed with it and asked us, and I had the opportunity to work on the tech hire bill that just came out. And by the way, congratulations, Rochester, for being selected as a Tech Hire City. That's fantastic. But, you know, the whole thrust of that is taking and making sure that we have this cooperation between the federal government and corporations to take and make sure that those that want the opportunity to enter into this field, whether they went through and received a four-year degree that wasn't on point for technology careers, or if they don't even have a degree at all, that the money's there to be sure that they are able to take and get the education that they need to be able to participate inside this field.
I mean, you're all talking to a history major here, so yeah. I'm perhaps not the right one to talk about good career decisions out of college. Not that I've regretted it. I got to be a talk show host, so there's that. Alexandra, you were about to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, my degree was in biomedical sciences, and I'm going into a completely different field. And I think something that people should consider is that you need to just be creative and have good communication skills and have the ability to problem solve. That's what this career is really about. And then you can learn the techniques behind it and the skill sets as you go. So I don't think that technology should scare anyone if you got a degree in something else.
Talk to me briefly. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to our break here. Talk to me briefly, Alexandria, about your path. What have you been learning? What was the education process like in working with Dan and in working with the program to make this transition from being a biomedical researcher into what you're doing now?
Right. A lot of it is just learning, the software development life cycle. We started with that. And then specifically for my role as a business system analyst, so a lot of times you go out and you figure out what a business needs and you help them figure out solutions. And everything that goes into that, we got down to the nitty-gritty and learning how to do. But a lot of it we're going to learn on the job. So I'm excited for that. I mean, this gave us the foundational background to go into IT, but we're going to learn a lot as we actually work and speak with people and speak with other technologists. So I'm excited for that. But that's what I said. It shouldn't scare anyone if their degree was in something else, or if they don't even have a degree. They just have to be open-minded, creative, have good communication skills, and just be willing to dedicate themselves and learn, too.
So you are working with Xerox right now. You're not actually working for Xerox, so you're essentially learning from them. Is that correct?
Well, we'll be starting Monday with them, and we're all in different projects, all the 21 women, and then yeah, we'll be learning a lot on our project, so it'll be our first time really taking on a serious project and going from there, you know. Because right now, the past few months, we've been training. So we've been taking tests, and we've been doing simulations and case studies to try to get a background and idea of what we will be doing. So Xerox will be on, you know, pretty big projects, and that's when it's going to really count. The ball's going to get rolling, so...
Yeah, we UST Global is a global IT services and consulting company. We've got 16,000 employees globally, and we've been doing this type of boot camp training for the 16 years of our existence. And we have G.A. Menon, which is one of our founders. We have the G.A. Menon Academy as a tribute to him. And one of the things that we've been able to do is we've been able to successfully train college freshers coming out of school how to become, you know, business systems analysts, project coordinators, QA testers, a whole litany of different aspects through that entire time. And what we've been able to do is to then now here take 21 very talented women, of which Alexandria is one of them, that had various and diverse background and degrees and experience, and to be able to sit there and focus that training so that they can come out of the training and go into a company like Xerox and be able to hit the ground running day one as a business systems analyst.
We will continue our conversation about getting women and minorities into STEM, and in particular about the Step It Up America initiative. After a real quick break, you are listening to Innovation Friday from Connections on member-supported public radio. In our next hour on Connections Innovation Friday, how easy is it to cast a ballot if disabilities keep you from using a standard voting machine? The Center for Disability Rights is trying to make some changes to improve dismal voting numbers. We'll talk with two of the people behind its new initiative, And then we'll hear from the CEO of the company that plans to grow medical marijuana at Rochester's Eastman Business Park. Stay with us. It is Innovation Friday from Connections. I'm Scott Feibusch, in for Evan Dawson. This hour, we're talking about the challenge of getting more women and minority and really people in general interested in getting into the STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and math, and some of the programs that exist to help them. We want to get you in on the conversation as well. I'm on Twitter, at Scott Feibusch, or you can call us at 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Bernard from Fairport, you are on Connections. Welcome.
Thank you. My question is, or concern is, you classify somebody as a STEM expert, but it seems to me, don't we need to be more general educated people? So doesn't someone who writes poetry need to understand computers and maybe programming and so on and so forth? So are we in fact, or could we be scaring people off by saying you need to study STEM, when what we really need to say is, no, you need to be a general, more general person, and science is part of being an educated, knowledgeable, and for that matter, happy person. So I'd be interested in comments on that. Thanks very much for the show.
Interesting question. Thank you, Bernard. Who, B.G. Moore, do you want to tackle that one?
Please. The issue that we have, and I'm not disagreeing that a well-rounded education is important, but the facts are that corporate America, if you don't have certain degrees for certain positions behind your name, you'll never get past the filtration system that the recruiters use to even get the interview. That's what we tell the ladies that go through the Step It Up program, is that even though you're going to be better prepared than your counterpart that's coming out with a computer science major, you're going to have to work harder, faster, smarter than the person sitting next to you with that computer science major for 3 to 4 years until you build up enough work experience underneath you so that the marketplace bases their opinion of you on your job experience versus your undergraduate degree. So, yes, I think you're absolutely correct. It's great to take and have a broad education, but the facts are is that if you want to land a career, at least in technology, you're going to either have to have gone through some type of accelerated training program where you can get the qualifications and the skills needed, or you're going to have to come out of school with a computer science major.
Dan, you want to address that too?
Yeah, I think that, really at the end of the day, when you have a degree and you want to be able to enter the workforce, there are certain minimum competencies that people want to be able to sit there and see. You know, luckily with a program like Step It Up, we're able to partner with, large corporations like Xerox, and they know that the end game is such and that they have seen these women, they've gone through, they're all very, talented folks. Now, for being in and having, I do agree, you want to be well-rounded. Part of it, too, is it's going to be interesting for us to watch over the next 10 years what some of the different aspects are going to be of folks that are going to be entering into the technology field, giving everything that's coming out that's innovative, that's digital. Poetry probably in combination with technology, with the way that it's even being intertwined in our schools now, in high schools and that there very well could be a very specific opportunity and job and even more creative. But we're talking about going into these large-scale corporations and giving them an opportunity to get the role. And so, yeah, technology's got to be a core competency of that.
Alexandria Kelly, I want to get your thoughts on that, too, since you've had a fairly broad spectrum of education now through your life and career.
No, I think they hit it right on the nail. I mean, I think it's important to be proficient in all aspects. I got a minor in philosophy in high school, but then my major degree was in biomedical sciences, and then I went on to teach at STEM High School. So I think it's just, and something I stress to the students is that it's important to be strong in all aspects, whether it's math, science, English, because they help you. Math is going to help you with your English. Technology is going to help you with another aspect. And then you want to have a creative spin on everything. So I just think it's important to just stay well-balanced.
Indeed. Go back to the phones here at 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. 205-8255. And we go next to David in Pittsford. You've got a question about the nature of liberal arts?
Yes, I think the last response was kind of in the direction that I wanted to discuss. I remember many years ago, a friend of mine went to the University of Chicago, and he was a liberal arts major, and he had to take a really good, solid course in his freshman year in chemistry, physics, and calculus. And I think that today, with so many people in the world working in these fields, I don't understand how liberal arts, which I thought, and this is where I'd like to get the question, I thought liberal arts was to a study of the various thought processes of mankind, art, history, literature, languages, and now why not math, physics, and chemistry, biology, information technology? All of these things should be part of the liberal arts degree, or should they? And if so, then maybe there wouldn't be such discrimination in corporate America against the liberal arts graduates, because they would be thought of as being competent at a basic level in all of the fields in which people work.
Okay, thanks, sir. Thanks for the call, David. I think we're straying perhaps a little far from the topic at hand, but certainly this is interesting to get this interplay as to what should or shouldn't go into an education. I want to ask, too, and particularly Alexandra, because you've worked with students at younger grade levels, but also Dan and BG as well. What should school districts be focusing on now and recognizing, obviously, that there are very limited resources and a lot of existing demands on the curriculum, but what would you want to see coming out before students even go to college? What would you like to see school systems giving them now to give them the right start so that they know what they need to be able to go into these fields?
I still think it's important to have a well-balanced education in all the fields, but in particular math and engineering and technology, it would be great to have, you know, programs where kids could explore their talents and explore their interests a little bit more, rather than just, you know, from a book or from PowerPoints or from just, you know, the teacher transferring information. So if they could get a little bit more hands-on, you know, work, that would be a great way to kind of get them interested. So I just think having a well-balanced education all around, but then those particular subjects such as technology, having hands-on experiences pushes them in certain directions to go for and not be intimidated by the field.
BG or Dan, you want to take a stab at that at all?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I was last night we went to curriculum night for my daughter's elementary school, and there was a display up front, and it said STEM on it, and said STEM activities. And there's a picture of my daughter with one of her friends, and something that I didn't even know she had done. And it was building a boat using aluminum foil and some other stuff. And I've still got to get the whole background on it. And, you know, I'm saying having it go across the water. And she said, Dad, it was so much fun, and I was so successful with it. And I think just, you know, seeing more of those type of activities, as well as exposing the students as to what, you know, career possibilities are out there, whether that's, you know, taking field trips into, you know, companies and seeing how technology is being used in the different areas and such, and having it be so diverse that they know what the possibilities are that are out there for them, you know, before they even get to a point of, you know, trying to get to college. There's so much, you know, emphasis now on being able to take AP courses once they get to high school, and a bunch of other things, and so they can be ranked appropriately against other, you know, students getting in there. I think that there just needs to be some focus for, well, I hate to call it think time, but really thinking about, you know, where they want to go, understanding where their strengths are, and kind of what the possibilities are. I mean, you know, Steve Jobs taught the world to think different. I think those some of these aspects could be thrown in there.
We are talking with Alexandria Kelly, who is a graduate of the Step It Up America Initiative and also a Rochesterian. Dan Weber is the Vice President of Technology at UST Global and was Alexandria's mentor. And B.G. Moore is the Chief of Staff at UST Global. We've got time for a few more phone calls at 844 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Linda in Rochester, you are on with Connections Innovation Friday.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I am an older female engineer, got my degree in engineering, and the biggest thing that got me involved was encouragement from parents, friends, counselors, teachers, professors, that, you know, I was just told I could do it. That's all.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for the call, Linda. Alexandria, who encouraged you beyond Dan, obviously? Who else have been your mentors who helped spark this interest in you?
I have had a lot of mentors, and I've been very, very lucky. You know, next to my mom just instilling, you know, education in me and just telling me to push the boundaries. You know, even as a kid, I played football with the boys. So I was never scared to be the minority, for one. But then, two, I had a series of teachers and mentors from college. My microbiology professor, and he was my mentor for research. Dr. Osgood was one of them. I had teachers, Mrs. O'Connor from Brighton that I went to. And then just all around, people supporting me and telling me it's okay to be different. It's okay to go into a certain field. I mean, biomedical sciences is a pretty specified field that I had a lot of support to complete. So I agree with the last call. You definitely need support from those around you.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I had some great teachers at Brighton who helped push me in the direction that I went in, too. Quick question here that comes to mind. I realize it was probably as much publicity as anything else, but there was that story that made the news a few weeks ago about Target deciding they were going to take the labels off of toys. They were no longer going to put gender-based labeling in their toy section. It was just going to be, here are toys, no more girls' toys, and boys' toys. Is that more than symbolic? Does that make a real difference?
I think it comes from parenting, too, because I think in society we do need to stop limiting what girls and guys play with and what things girls and guys do. However, like, if your parents are pushing you into whatever direction and the people around you are supporting your interests, like I said, I have a niece who is interested in Minecraft. It's like, that's the kind of specified, maybe more considered more of a boyish thing to do. But, you know, we don't say that. We let her do what she's interested in, and we push her in whatever direction her interest takes her. So I think that's important, too. And as a society, we do need to stop segregating different activities, you know, such as football. My mom thought it was cool that I wanted to play, and she let me be on the team. So, you know, other people are like, I don't want my daughter to do that. So I think that is important.
We're going to have a whole generation someday of architects and civil engineers and builders who all say, "Oh yeah, Minecraft was what got me started with that." I can see that coming with my kids. Omari, you are on with us from Rochester.
Hi. Yeah. So I'm actually an RIT graduate. Also, I've known Alexandria Kelly. I'm kind of impressed, pretty impressed actually, what she's able to do over the past couple of years. But my thing is, you know, when you try to push the youth towards, you know, STEM related fields, you know, when they push back and say, no, I'm not interested in this, I'm actually interested in, you know, history or fashion or something, you know, more liberal that's really not towards STEM field, at what point do you, you know, step back and let them kind of make their own decisions? You know, at what point do you say, okay, I understand you're not interested in the STEM fields, I'll let you grow into your own person and make your own decisions?
Interesting question. I want to actually turn to Dan and to BG with that. And Dan, in particular, since you're working so intimately with this mentoring program, are the women that you're mentoring, are these people that you feel generally are instinctively drawn to this? Or do you feel sometimes like you have to push and say, hey, you should really be trying this, I want to get you into this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The women that are involved in it, they all took different, you know, courses, you know, in their journey along the way. We've got some teachers. We've got some folks that are in marketing. We have people that are in research. You know, there are a few that actually, you know, went into the technology field but didn't necessarily go down the path that would allow them to do that. We've got some accounting folks. And, you know, what each of them were saying and what I've heard from all of them is that, you know, intrinsically, technology has a play in every single one of those aspects. And what they realized is that if they wanted to be able to take their career to the level that they really wanted to, not only for themselves but for their families and generations to come, that they had to have that, you know, that background in technology in order to be successful from that. You know, each of these women that went through the program, we put them through a 2.5-hour aptitude test, which they all scored very well on, to sit there and say, you know, not only are they interested in it, but they also have the cognitive skills to be able to sit there and to do very well within a technology area. And I think it's going to be true of everything that we do as individuals in that moving forward, is that, you know, whether you talked about the fashion designer, you talked about the writer, you talked about all of these other things, and that technology has fundamentally, you know, changed, even music production for that matter, has changed the way that all of those are executed and brought to bear. And so, you know, it's not necessarily just taking away their interest, their love, their passion for that. It's really, you know, making them exposed to how, you know, these different areas then now tie into, you know, their future success in these areas.
Are you recruiting them? Are they coming to you? Is it a combination of the two?
In different cities, depending upon that, we actually went out and we did both ways. So, you know, not only do we go out and actively recruit, you know, when we go and we launch a city in that, we get civic leaders involved. We get all types of, we use social, you know, social media and those types of communications along the way. And what's really exciting for us is that once we hold a class like this, then a lot of the folks that have gone through the program, they recommend other people that they know, inclusive of their family, to come and take a look at the Step It Up program.
Well, thank you, Omari, by the way, for the call. We've got time to get a couple more calls on here. Don in Brighton, you've been waiting for a while. Welcome to Connections Innovation Friday.
Yeah, I wanted to comment again about the value of degrees. I have two children who studied liberal arts. My daughter was theater and switched to straight liberal arts. She ended up working for a computer company, and she got to the point she was traveling all over the world doing consulting. But since she had a degree in liberal arts, her pay level, I figured out, was a little bit less than half of what other people in the same field were doing, because the company knew that she could not leave them and go to another company and even be interviewed because her degree was in the wrong field. So she worked for a little bit less than half doing the same job as other people.
Wow.
And then my son did the same thing. He had liberal arts degrees, and he pointed out to me that if he'd gotten a STEM degree when he got out of law school, he would have started at twice the salary that he got.
I hope my kids are listening right now. I really do. We are talking about STEM programs. We're talking with Alexandria Kelly, who is part of the Step It Up America initiative, Dan Weber, and B.G. Moore from UST Global. And we have on the phone John. John, you're involved in a program at MCC, right?
That's correct, yeah. I am the program coordinator of the College Science Technology Entry Program at MCC. And I just wanted to say that, you know, Step It Up America is a great program, and we applaud all the work they're doing. But New York State does support STEM programs. There's the STEP program, which MCC has a grant for, and as does the RIT and U of R Medical Center. That's in the high schools and the middle schools, helping minority students, what we call underrepresented students, women, and low-income students move into STEM programs. And then at MCC and at RIT, we also have C-STEP programs in which we move students through those degrees. I just wanted to point that out, that New York State does have programs that support science for the groups that you're discussing today.
So the opportunities are there, and I want to give all of you, John included, an opportunity here. If people are listening and they're interested, what are some resources? And I guess I'll start with you, John, since we've got you in the line as well. What are some resources locally and nationally that people can turn to if they're interested in pursuing this topic further? John, if you
want to... Well, from my end, high school students, middle school students should look to see if there is a STEP program in their schools, and if there isn't, talk possibly to their state representatives about getting more STEP programs, New York State STEP programs started. And then in their colleges, there are CSTEP, the program that I'm a coordinator of, colleges across New York State. There's actually 46 CSTEP programs in various community colleges and four-year colleges across New York State. To what we mainly do is assist students with staying in the programs, you know, to not lose their focus on the science and technology area. I want to just point out, a lot of your callers have mentioned the liberal arts degree, and liberal arts degree is good, but in this day and age, you really need those maths, upper high-level maths, you know, Calc 3, discrete linear algebra, and in engineering, the courses are incredibly focused and specific, and students do need those specific skill sets to succeed in STEM areas.
Indeed.
Just ask at their school if there's a STEP program, or ask about the Step Up America, and there's a number of other programs.
John, thank you so much for the call. Dan, what are some of the resources from your end that you would point people to?
Yeah, you know, if they're interested in the program, you can go to the website, which is ust-global.com, or to join stepitupamerica.com. And that way, they can get much more information about our program. And, I agree, too. I think that, and I appreciate the comment about, even in school, Matt, the STEP programs, other things that are there, very vital to, help folks, get into STEM-related careers.
And I think John raised an interesting question there, too, about how do you keep people motivated through these programs, because these can be challenging topics, especially for people who don't necessarily have a deep background coming into them in doing technology and especially, I think, in doing math. What are some of the challenges that you face as a mentor, Dan, and perhaps that you face going through the program Alexandria in persevering and getting through, and what is your attrition rate?
Yeah, I think that, and obviously I want Alexandria to also comment, but I think it's really when when you sit there and you're going through and you're putting so much work into it, it's really painting that picture of the future. Here is the end game, and when you go through this, you now have this full time role in a STEM related career, and that the effort is worth the journey along the way. And I think that it's those types of words of encouragement and such that will help keep everyone engaged and involved. And you have to be sitting there to listen to your mentee and the challenges that they're going through at that given time.
What have been some of the frustrations for you, Alexandria?
To start, it was a little bit hard, learning the background of, foundation, the software development life cycle, and just, what really goes into information technology and programming, and it could be a little bit overwhelming, but like Dan said, just the end result, I'm thinking of people like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and Kevin Systrom, all these people who've created these websites and have really put a foot into technology, Ursula Burns, and I'm thinking I want to be like them, so I'm dedicating myself to learning and grabbing a mentor and learning everything I can from them. So I think having that foundation and then just being willing to learn and explore and that will definitely cascade your future in technology forward to what you want it to be.
All right. BG, I want to go back to you a little bit as we get towards the very end of the show here, down into our final minutes. Is there evidence? You've gone through some statistics. There are a lot more that we can point to, showing how bad the numbers have been. Are there numbers yet, or can you expect that in the next few years there will be, showing that we have measurable improvement in getting underrepresented minorities more involved in getting these degrees and being out there in the working world?
Oh, absolutely. We've launched the program originally in November of 2013, with our first graduating class being in May of 2014. And I've had the opportunity to talk to probably 60 of the Fortune 500 company CIOs, CEOs. And there has not been one of those companies that I've had the opportunity to speak to that did not recognize the problem. So corporate America is actively engaging and wanting to take and to recruit, okay? The problem is if you look at just those that are studying computer science, only 4% of those that are studying computer science majors right now are either African-American or Latino.
It is definitely a challenge that that continues and that we will be following here on Innovation Friday. Thank you so much, all three of you, for being with us, B.G. Moore and Dan Weber from UST Global, Alexandria Kelly from here in Rochester, about to go in and get involved in Xerox and get started on what we hope will be an exciting new career for you. Thanks all for being with us. I'm Scott Feibusch, in for Evan Dawson. We will continue with another hour of Innovation Friday on Connections, coming up right here on member-supported Public Radio.